Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Higher Power Tech Podcast, where I am one of your hosts, Mark Comar, and my other handsome, awesome, illustrious co-host, Joaquin Comar.
How are you guys?
He said, what up? So, guys, today we want to talk about who are we as the host? Who are we? Why are we bringing this? Why do we feel like we are suited to sit here and present ourselves in our, you know, I guess, esteemed manner, the best way we can, right, Joaquin?
Yeah.
We're here to talk to you guys about who we are so you understand why we decided to collab, bring our talents together, and present Higher Power to you while we're building the course that we're building for you all to connect with us more in depth outside of just meeting us here every Wednesday on Spotify, on YouTube, on Apple, wherever you're hearing this, wherever you're seeing this, on our LinkedIn, Instagram. But we want to make sure you understand who are we. And, you know, they always say it's about know, like, and trust. Well, you can't know us if we don't tell you who we are. So we want to come in today and tell you who we are. So hopefully, you know, if you desire, you like us and then you'll trust us, right? But let me start by saying this. The reason why he and I are cousins. So I know you may be like, last name, you think we're brothers, but, you know, again, he's the handsomer version of me. So I know I'm okay with that. I know my place in life. I'm fine. the reason why I wanted my cousin to jump in with me in this business and start this platform is because I've seen his talents over the years in a myriad of fashions and a myriad of ways. And he's going to go in depth in that here in a second. But I also know we work better together as a unit, as a team. And who better to do this with than my family, right? And someone who I obviously were blood, literally, but I also trust him and have seen him go through the ebb and flow and always rise to the occasion, even when things get tough. So he has a system in the way in which he approached that in his life that I think is necessary to communicate to the world now, especially in our particular niche that we're in. The parent company of Higher Power Tech is Kane Ross LLC, which, yes, I am the owner of that. And I have silent partners and the board that I work with. But our main focus with the parent company is we staff IT professionals in the corporations, Fortune 500 companies, large data centers. And we staff anywhere from dark data, data science, front end, full stack, project engineers, anything mainly in the IT sector, we staff. Okay. And we've been successful at this for the past 6 years and looking to continue to grow and dominate within respectful way. But the only reason why we're able to do that is because we take care of our teams and our employees the right way. And we'll get into more of that later. But what I brought that to your attention because Joaquin, like I said, has such a structure and such a way in which he's delivered himself. And he's in the IT sector as well after coming from an athletic background. But I want him to bring to you guys his process, his flow, his, you know, work structure of how he's built himself over the years and why he's been successful, you know, even during his downtimes and how he's bounced back and then also where he's taken it to go forward with us as a team and going forward. So that being said, Joaquin, thank you for letting me kind of like, you know, toot your horn a little bit, but I want you to kind of go in, take the people kind of through the journey of, you know, where you started, brother, where we started, you know, together in Cleveland, Ohio. What kind of got you to be the mindset and the person you are, you know, your high school career, prowess, college career, and then you know, your workforce. So go ahead. The platform is yours.
For sure. What's going on, guys? Joaquin, Keen for short. You know what I'm saying? We can go my nickname. No big deal. But like Mark said, everything kind of started off for me in Cleveland, Ohio. I went to high school, Twinsburg, Ohio, state champ wrestler. I did a lot, you know, as far as track as well. Played football in college also, as well in college, two-time track and field All-American. As far as what I've studied in college, I ended up getting my MBA in Management of Information Systems, which is kind of like that liaison between the business world and the tech world as well. After college ended, I still had the Olympic dream. I wanted to continue my like track and field career, so I moved to Arizona for that reason. Didn't get nearly as far as I wanted to, which is fine. I came across like different opportunities that I felt like might take me a bit further. Go ahead.
Let me jump in real quick if I can. I want to ask because I love how he's so humble, y'all. He just get right past. Like most of us, you know, I played college basketball, but I didn't have, you know, I could not go to the NBA. But you said you went to Arizona, which I understand. I know because you were very talented. But talk to people about the mentality you have as a track athlete to not only be at the height and the excellence that you were, because you were ranked in the nation, I believe, at one point, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Talk about what your ranking was, and then talk about, too, what the mentality was like for you to make, to go to the Olympics, brother. That's not easy. That is a process. Talk about that. What made you think you want to do that? You know, how'd you go about that process just going there?
For sure. So it was actually my junior year of college. I took fourth at Nationals, and I felt like I had a couple years of, the eligibility left after that, because I registered a year. So I felt like, you know, if I'm able to do this, I have a couple more years left, I can definitely, like, you know, hit some, like, nasty times. Mm. So, you know, as I, like, graduated, I had some buddies that went to college with me. They moved to Arizona, and they're running with a group called Altus. So a couple of my old college buddies put the word in for me, and then I was, like, accepted into that running group. Now, when I moved to Arizona, I ended up not running with that group. It was just, I didn't understand the concept of, like, having to pay a coach that amount of money, to be honest with you. So I didn't end up training with him. But as far as, like, the mindset goes, there's a lot that goes into being a track athlete, you know, not just, you know, running your intervals, you know, and whatnot at practice and trying to beat yourself from, you know, the previous practice, but also, like, nutrition is, like, a huge thing. And that was something that I didn't have the best nutrition foundation just coming up as a wrestler. It was kind of, to be honest with you, it was kind of like, you know, you pig out on the weekend, you put on, you know, 10 to 15, 20 pounds on the weekend. And now the week progresses, I mean, you got like 3 or 4 days to cut like 15, 20 pounds, right? So,
sure. So let me, because that, like you said, going from wrestler to track athlete, and then now, not only top of that, at this point, you're early 20s, late teens, early 20s, where you're trying to be Olympian. This is the best in the world. This is not just the best in the nation. So you're right. At that level, it's down to the minuscule macros you put into your body. And let me ask you, how difficult was it making that mental transition, because you're right, wrestling, you gotta, you know, bulk up. So it's whatever you can just put in, right? Plus you're young too. What is that like? I know it's kind of similar to people who are trying to change careers right now, who have been set in certain careers and, you know, doing things a certain way. What kind of advice could you give them from what you learned from that experience, just that shift between two opposing energies, even though they're athletics, right?
What I would say, advice-wise, what kind of advice could I give? I would say you are definitely going to want to have, for one, you're going to make sure you have a coach that you trust, you know, or a mentor that you can trust, somebody that's been there before, somebody that you can, like, you know, take notes off of and trust what they say. I would say that's the biggest one. The second thing that I would say, as far as the advice that I could give, is you're going to have to put all your eggs in that basket and just go after it. You know, you're going to have to go after it, and, you know, don't get distracted by, like, what these people are doing or what those people are doing. Just have a plan, go after it. And if that plan doesn't work, you know, be able to pivot. Right. Keep the main thing and work on that path. And until that path doesn't work, then you pivot, but keep the main thing. And that's what I was saying.
Okay. So did you find were you able to accomplish the transition into nutrition, you know, clean eating? And then I know you mentioned that you didn't quite understand or grasp the concept of paying a coach, which I get that, especially at that time when you don't have the funds, right, to do it. But were you able to at least give it a chance to try to allow yourself to make the change into the nutritional lifestyle, into the workout process, or was that not something you were able to go further in?
Are you talking about at that time, like when I was running track, or now?
Yeah, at that time when you were running. No, it was all at that time when you were running track.
No. At that time, I still had that wrestler mentality. So, right. In my head, as far as track and field went, it was like the lighter that you are, the better. And I don't care like how you got there, you know, just get there. So like not having that nutritional foundation, like while you're running, I mean, that's going to kill your workouts. And you're just not going to, you're not going to survive. You're not going to survive at all. So now I've gotten a lot better. You know, I've been bodybuilding for a couple. I was doing bodybuilding for a couple years. I've been training people for a while, so now it's much better. Right, I'm spot on. Then I didn't have the best nutritional foundation. So you know what I'm saying. You live, you learn. Right.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. I appreciate. I just wanted to kind of. I didn't want to skip past that, but let's go back to now because we left them off where you were in college and your degrees and, you know, and all that and your pursuits on that and what made you choose your degree and all that. So I'll let you continue with that. I just want to kind of not skip over the Olympic because, ladies and gentlemen, he was going for the Olympics. He didn't get a chance to do it, but his mentality was there to do that. That's important because I think every phase of life we have moments that we've gone after big dreams and big goals, you know, audacious goals. And whether we fully accomplish them or not, I think hearing someone's journey is awesome. So thank you for sharing that. But go into your college part, though, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. So, yeah, to back up a little bit, the reason why I chose what I chose for grad school, management of information systems, is because your best friend told me that the three biggest sectors are finance, healthcare, and IT. So I decided to roll with the IT. After I graduated grad school, I was able to get a position at CVS Caremark from a referral from a buddy that was from Cleveland, Ohio, that lived in Arizona at the time. That job didn't last too long. It came down to maturity. And that transition from being an athlete to sitting down in an office for 8 hours a day, that didn't work well with me at all. I was falling asleep like at the job and they were just like, get out. Right. So that ended pretty quick. So I took some, I had some sales positions, right? Was able to sharpen that skill. And then after that, what that was from a period of what, like 2017, like 2019, I was at Quicken Loans and sales positions. After that, I then decided to move. Well, I met a young lady in Arizona. She was from Canada. We were doing a long distance thing for about a year and a half. And she asked me, you know, do you want to go to Thailand? And I was like, yeah, right. Like I was fearless. I had somebody to push me, right? I had somebody that had already done it. So I was like, yeah, you know, let's go. Let's do it.
She had done it before?
Oh, yeah. She had traveled. She'd been to Thailand. She'd been lived in Australia for a while. So she had about seven, I think, or so countries under her belt. Okay. So I was like, why not? Let's do it.
Right.
So we go there and maybe like 6 months or so in-ish, we started running out of money. And so what kept us afloat while we were there is that before we left, we had gotten our personal training certifications, which is, you know, allowed us to get some knowledge on training people. And then while we were out, for one, we bought a previous course from that you and your partner had made. And then we had got another business coach while we were out there to also, you know, help teach us how to market and things of that nature. So that helped us afloat while we were gone in Thailand. We were there for about 2 years. That also helped the move back to Canada and train people there for quite a while. After that, probably about a year in, no, 2 years into Canada, 2023, I just wanted to change. I wanted to get back into the tech field. Moved back to Ohio, took a couple boot camps to refresh what I learned in college and to learn, you know, a little bit more as far as programming languages goes, JavaScript, Golang, a good amount of DevOps practices, a lot of DevOps tools as well. I know that's becoming more and more of a relevant skill to have. So now we're here today, you know, showing you guys the path or telling you guys the path that I've taken you know, giving you guys as much value as I possibly can. So.
You've always been one to seek out information, which is dope. I want to backtrack real quick to, because the Thailand piece is unique. So, ladies and gentlemen, he got stranded there because at first they wanted to just go and travel, but he and his partner at the time he and her got stranded. Am I correct? Because for COVID, right? So how was that experience for you going through that? Because everybody has their stories and has, you know, what, you know, most people were domestic. They were stateside, right? But you were first time. This is your first time. She was seven times. But this is your first time. How was that for you, bro?
You know, at first, I was kind of scared because our plan was to go from Thailand to Australia and just start life over, right? Everyone's borders were closed, so the Australia thing, like, wasn't happening at all. And so maybe for, like, a hot second, we thought about maybe going back home. But, like, we decided to stay because it was just, Thailand was cheap. Like, it was super cheap. And then there was not any chaos, like, where we're at, you know? Just from what we had seen on the news, it looked like there was, like, chaos going on in the States and whatnot. I don't know because I wasn't there. But in Thailand, it was, like, very peaceful. You know, people didn't really care too much. They didn't have a strict, like, 10 p.m. rule. Like, if you're out past 10 p.m., like, they'll throw you in jail. And they were serious about that. They were very, very serious about that. So, like, we didn't push those lines.
Wait, question. How did you know they were so serious? Did you get almost locked up? Like, how did you know?
We heard stories. So we can only go off the stories that we heard.
Right, and then also
at the same time, like, it's just like when you think of a Thai prison, it's like, nah. You know, I'm good, right? I'm good.
Right.
But, you know, while we were out there, it was, you know, we had no issues. We adjusted pretty well. I'd say one of the shitty parts were because, you know, a lot of people left the island. A lot of people, because we were on Koh Samui, a lot of people left the island. It went from, like, New York population to, like, desert, right?
Ghost town.
Exactly. So I have a lot of love for the girl who I was with at the time, but in the studio that we were in, it was just like us, like, all the time. And that was like a huge adjustment, right?
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, it was great. It was Thailand, you know, living by the beach, you know, for $650 a month, right? Like, you're in shorts and t-shirt all day, you know what I'm saying? Thong toe sandals, right? Gas is cheap. So, I mean, it was a bit of an adjustment at first, but, like, as we just kind of relaxed, you know, and just, like, enjoyed where we were, it was just, like, perfect for us.
No doubt. Yeah, man, that island life, man, it's something totally different. I wish that more people, you know, take the chance to experience it. Like, you know, hopefully not, you know, not another, you know, virus shutting down the world again to cause people to go or, you know, get stranded. But just to go, because, like you said, it's such a different vibe, such a different feel. And especially what you felt being there, seeing it flow and seeing the activity, and then all of a sudden seeing no one. But then the locals are so awesome. The locals are so relaxed. It's like, oh man, I could do this all day long. You know, it's like
it gives you, when you go to a place like that and you see the difference from, like, a first world country like the States to there, it gives you such a different perspective on, like, what you think is important. There was, like, almost no stress while we were there. You know what I'm saying? The only stress that I feel like we had was, you know, trying to get a hold of, like, our parents sometimes because, like, the time difference, you know? I mean, but outside of that, like, I feel like just people who are living that island life are so, they're so relaxed. They're grateful to just go outside and just watch the sunset.
Everything you said, though, I having experienced it myself in different, you know, in Thailand, but not the island constantly way, I definitely know what you're saying. You're absolutely correct. The value system is just different.
Uh-huh.
And you do see it differently, especially because we grew up, you know, predominantly, you know, 90% of our life has been stateside, right?
Right.
So to experience that and to get that, what I like to call, I like to call it calming of the white noise.
Uh-huh.
And you get a chance to just be and really focus in on you. Even when you think you're trying to think about things, it's like, it's still so peaceful and relaxed. So that's dope. Let me ask you this real quick before we, I appreciate you sharing your journey a little bit. What got you into you already talked a little bit about the DevOps and the, you know, Java. Where are you looking to take your career now that you have the certifications, you have, you know, more underneath your belt? Where are you looking to take your career as far as a contractor or employee, if you don't mind me asking, for those who are out there trying to think of the same thing?
That's a good question. I wanna be able to give myself options, just to kind of go back. Like when I was in high school, because I had the exposure to the coaching that I had a good amount of options as far as like sports that I wanted to do, like in college. So I want to be able to give myself options to whether I'm either, you know, designing my own like website and taking care of my own back end for whatever fitness, right, app that I build, or, you know, whether it's, you know, some type of like DevOps engineer consulting, right? So there's a couple of different routes that I'm not necessarily tied to one right now. Open to whichever one I eventually start feeling a little bit more because I'm finishing another boot camp right now. So as I get closer and closer to that boot camp, whatever I feel more like in tune with is probably when I'll start like building on the side, probably. Yeah.
Okay. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, he means outside of doing this with higher power, it's fullest.
And that's another thing. Sorry to cut you off. That's another thing that's like that's really important. It's just like skills. You know, skills pay the bills. You know, so like whatever skills that you have, get really good at that, and see like how you can deliver that. See like how you can, you know, give people value in that. Because like at the end of the day, I feel like that's one of the things that helps with happiness, right? Are you doing something that you like, and are you providing like value with that? You know, so it doesn't hurt to be. I'm not saying have like all the skills in the world, right? Because they say a master at everything is what do they say? A jack of all trades, whatever. How does the saying go?
Yeah, master of none.
Exactly. So you know, like what you like, and then have a skill to be able to deliver that.
Right. Uh-huh. And that part, that actually continues further. Jack of all trades, master of none, but a master of one is still better than master of none. So it's actually a complete phrase to that we normally just say the first part of it. But you're right, though. And what Joaquin is absolutely correct on, I want to piggyback on, you know, it used to be, you know, 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, it used to be the skill that you wanted was, say, like a welder or, you know, plumber or technician of some kind, right? But what we're bringing to you here at Higher Power, and you hear, you know, the certifications and the boot camps Joaquin is a part of, is because these skill sets of learning C++, JavaScript, you know, Python, you know, coding, you know, all the different coding aspects, the hacker aspects that are out there, getting, you know, your Six Sigma, getting, you know, all of the different, you know, knowledge bases that you can. These skill sets are the future, they're the present, and then the future. And the more that you do have underneath your belt, as Joaquin is saying, it just fortifies you to be able to continue to have a career prowess in a good way, where you'll be able to be sought after and you won't have to always be trying to seek, right? And you don't have to be so caught up in the fear factor that most people are right now, which is jobs are going to be shifted because of AI, you know, jobs lost, which it's been upon us, or if you really know tech, it's been upon us for the past decade, really. It's just, it's starting now, you know, come to head. But if your skill is there, like Joaquin is saying, you can do multiple things. And I tease, because I know he's building this, we're building this together at this platform. But one thing, reason why I love him, the reason why I love working with him, is because he sees, like, I'm not going to let other opportunities potentially slip, right? But I need to be prepared. They always say preparation, you know, or luck is preparation meeting opportunity, right? Yeah. Well, you create that luck by having the skill set available. If Joaquin wasn't working on these boot camps, if he wasn't, you know, seeing down the pike and seeing where he can get a little certification here, a little knowledge here, then he won't be prepared when the opportunity presents, right? So, you know, as we navigate and work with you guys and we get people to jump on and, you know, connect with, we don't know who you are. We don't know that you're a VP at a startup, you know, and you're looking for a quality, you know, remote worker who's, you know, quality at DevOps. And then, you know, you talk to Joaquin and he's like, well, look, I got 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? I can do that for you, you know? That's how it works, guys, right? It's just that simple. But when you don't take the action steps necessary and you just think, well, I'm either inept or I'm outdated, that's not my skill set, then you're losing opportunity. Okay. So I hope you heard him on that. What you think, Joaquin, when me just adding on to what you said?
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. You know, like you said, be prepared, because if you're not at a time where an opportunity, comes up, you might not get, that chance for a while. You know, like, look at sports, right? You know, some guys miss that chance, to execute on whatever they're supposed to execute on, and they become, I don't like to say this word, but they become a bust, right? And you don't want to be that guy, so just stay prepared, keep honing in on the skills, and then when the opportunity does come, like, you'll be ready to rock and roll.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. So you actually have a merger of a ex-athlete, successful ex-athlete, because winning championships in high school, dope, going to college, being nationally ranked, number 4 in the nation, dope, going to camp to potentially be an Olympian, dope. And then you took that into your work prowess and matriculation. Let me ask you, do you find it difficult now to keep a structure of wellness a part of your day-to-day now that you're, early 30s, away from that? Because, before, we had to be fit, right? Even if you didn't eat well, you had to be fit for your sport, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're on your own. Now you're taking boot camps. You're sitting down behind laptops. I know the first job, CVS, you had to work your way through the work, but now you're in it, right? Right. Do you find it difficult to have a routine of health and wellness intertwined with your current lifestyle now?
No. Since it's been like a part of my life for so long, I know working out better than I know English.
Facts.
It's the first
thing.
That. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, it's the first. As soon as I wake up, like, I hit the gym. When I'm at the gym, maybe sometimes when I'm at the gym, I might be listening to to a lecture from school, but I feel like the more that I work out, the better that I'm able to understand things. I'm not as stressed, I just get through my day a lot easier. Had I not been this person where I'm not working out too much and I'm not tracking my foods or whatever, I would be extremely scatterbrained. I probably would be depressed, but I might not even know it yet because I'd just be living like that for so long. But like, I would not be as much of a go-getter for sure as I am now. That is a part of my life no matter what. I don't care if I don't care if there's a funeral later on today. I'm going to work out in the morning, and that's final. So it's a part of my life until the day that I'm gone.
Why do you think so many people, from your perspective, since you've trained, you've been an athlete first, so you were athlete, so you were being trained, because you were the epitome at one point of what everybody wants to be, right? You had the athletic skill to display your workout prowess, right? Where most of us, who are non-athletic out here, they don't health and wellness because they don't see how it relates to them, because they don't show it for anything, right? Mm-hmm. But you've been able to, and then you train people to help them see how they can make it a part of their life. What would you attribute the still, I guess, misconception about the importance of health and wellness for someone who is been a tech person all their life or been an academic all their life and not necessarily intertwining both? Why do you think they still miss the boat on this? Of intertwining it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So if I'm answering that question correctly, I feel like people think that, because that they're not an athlete, that like it's not important, or, they'll put like other things like, I'm taking care of my family, so I can't do this, or, it's like, there is nothing, even say you had 10 kids, there's nothing more important than your health. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Right? Take care of yourself first so that you can take care of your kids, because you don't want to be that dad that's like, I'll do it later. Or that husband like, I don't feel like it. It's like, people tend to not want to hang around you, you know, if you're that guy, you know. So I feel like people feel like, you know, I'm not LeBron James, or, you know, I don't get paid to do this, But it's like, you're doing this though, so that you can live, you know? Yeah. So I just think that they have the priorities completely mixed up. It should be health and then, you know, work, family, or however you want to, probably family's next, and then work, right? But like, health is your money in the bank. That's how people don't see it like that. Like, that is the money in the bank. So I just think they need to reprioritize today, yesterday.
Man, when I tell you, you definitely are my cousin. Let me tell you guys, like, we don't go over this. We go over the topic, but we don't go over what we're going to say during this, right? We just, you know, go over the topic. But he hit his spot on the head. I'm a decade older than him. And the thing that I always preach to people, he's absolutely correct. Your priority, put your mask on first. Uh-huh. Your health is something that we cannot get back once it's gone.
Uh-huh.
And you have, like he said, I totally agree with him. You have to take care of you. If you take care of you for me, I can take care of me for you. And then we can come together and be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not taking care of yourself at the fullest, there's no way for us to be able to be what we want to be, whether that's in the workforce together, which is why we brought this program to you guys. And we're bringing this conversation to you guys. If you want your home life to be better, you have to be better. If you want your work life to be better, that's what Joaquin is saying. He's absolutely correct. He knows how to work out better than he knows how to speak English.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I know how to work out better than I know how to breathe, right?
Exactly.
It's second nature, but like he said, if you heard him, and we're going to talk about all these points that he brought up in different episodes, but depression, a lot of this can be mitigated, and a lot of this can be not even a factor.
Uh-huh.
If you are taking yourself physically through activity, that releases the cortisol levels, releases the dopamine, the proper dopamine releases that allows you to get to your proper REM sleep at night. But the problem that we're having is because we're not doing the proper natural releases from physical activity, because we're still animalistic at the end of the day. You know, I know people always compare it to what we were doing back in, you know, cavemen. Yeah, we're long past that, true enough. But we still have a functionality of of our physical nature that needs to have movement. Energy needs to be displaced and moved around, and when we don't use it properly, it's going to go somewhere else, right? And unfortunately now it's going into, you know, the synapses of the brain, where people are getting more depressed and more, you know, suicidal for different things, more hurt feelings emotionally off of what they read, you know. And he's able to position this because of his activity, right? And he's priming himself perfectly for his days, consciously in his case, and a lot of times unconsciously, because he's putting himself in a position to be able to receive the stresses. Now his parasympathetic, you know, nervous system is now responding properly to outside stimuli, because he's managed and molded in a way where now it can be receptive to what he needs to be receptive to in this new modern era that we're in. So I don't want to get too caught up on the science, and we'll get into all that later on, but thank you for sharing that, because I think it's important for people to hear from, you know, everyday people. You know what I'm saying? Me and you, everyday people. You know, we're not famous. You know what I'm saying? We're not sitting here, you know, multimillionaires yet.
Right.
You know, well, I'm close. I'm close. that's why I'm bringing this to you guys,
right,
in a comment. And that's why we're coming together. But yeah, we want to make sure you guys hear it, because this is real shit.
Uh-huh.
This is real.
Uh-huh.
It's not a game. This is not something esoteric that can't be reached and be manipulated well on your journey. You just have to be talking to the right parties and the right group and the right network, to where you can see that they are applying it in real time. So you can see that, okay, this shit does fucking work. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, but thanks for sharing, bro. So anything else you want to leave before we jump into where I'm from and all that?
Nah, I was gonna say, it's your turn to take the mic. So let the people know who you are, man.
All right. can you hear me okay now? So as I've already stated, we're family. We grew up in the same neck of the woods, Cleveland, Ohio. Him and, you know, Bedford starting out, and then, you know, moving to Twinsburg and different places. But me starting off in, you know, good old EC in Cleveland Heights, and, you know, enjoying that, then going to South Euclid. And yeah, man, I was a basketball player coming up. This is before he was I really fully understand what was going on out here in the streets.
I remember coming to your basketball games when you're in high school.
Was I okay, cuz? Did I make it fun for you?
You're good. You're good. I can't lie. You're good.
Thank you, cuz. I appreciate you. I appreciate it. And I'll pay you later for saying that.
I got it.
Thank you. I was okay in the Ohio area. I was I was a sophomore when LeBron was eighth grader. So I was a junior when he was at my St. Vincent St. Mary. Our team, we never got a chance to connect, but it's funny because small world, Maverick, you know, his, you know, business partner and stuff, we were on the same AAU team together. Just to give, like, I did play ball, and I was in that area. I was in that time frame when the legend, the newer legend, is now, you know, what he is now, right? So never was that good. But have fun when it took it to college. Played ball in college, starting point guard. Dropped out after my senior year because I had transferred to three different colleges. Lost credits, and academics was never for me. While I was in college, though, in order, like Joaquin is talking about, in order to stay at the top of my game, because I went and played Division II basketball. That was the highest level I got a chance to play. And yes, it was still scholarship available at that time. But I was at HBCU, and we didn't have physical athletic trainers. So like my cousin, I had to figure out on my own how to stay healthy so I can, you know, just keep going after my dream of, you know, playing collegiate basketball. And yeah, of course, I thought at that time, you know, I could still possibly, you know, get to the league and try out, you know, all that stuff. But I had to be in great health and great shape. And so I went and got certified. And one of my friends, he was like, yeah, man, we can go get a job for you and get paid $20 and also learn how to stay fit. I was like, word, sign me up. So we went to Bally's, did that. So in between practices, in between classes, I would train some of my professors. I trained some of my college, classmates, and I just stayed in great shape. So never drank, never smoked, never did all that in college. Spring break, I would be the one on the field running sprints, you know, staying in shape for the next season, all that. I was that guy, right? Dropped out, went to work at Bally's. I'm like, well, look, I've been training. I know this, you know what I'm saying? Went to work at Bally's, 23 years of age. They made me a manager early on, at the age of 23, became manager of the second largest Bally's in Atlanta. Like Joaquin, this is my first job, though, and I'm kind of like, you know, even though I'm moving around, but I don't know, you know, I don't know what, you know, books are being in the red or, you know, what the bottom line, you know, I'm learning all this stuff on the spot, right? I'm also being in charge of people 15, 20 years older than me, right? So, you know, you're learning on the job, right? But it was a great experience. But I also knew, too, this is not something that I wanted to stick with for the remainder of working for someone else. I wanted to figure out, because I like working for myself. I saw my parents do it. Briefly for a few years, and I was like, that just seemed like something I want to do. I want to have something that's mine, right? Didn't know what it was. Finally figured out one day going into one of the corporations around the gym, we were talking to companies about trying to have their employees come work out to help them save on their healthcare costs. And I was like, aha, that's it. I can do this. If I'm doing it for, because I'm the one going in talking, you know, Bally just gave me the script, but I can go in and do this if I can create my own. So I talked to one of my colleagues at the time who was my top trainer, top sales every month. And I was like, he was from Detroit. It's a brother from the D, awesome cat. Shout out to Keel. but we decided to go into business together. So unbeknownst to me, 3 months before Bally's fired me on my birthday, we had got our company incorporated, licensed and all that stuff, did the research, did all, you know, got it, you know, got a state, you know, legal for the state and all that. We did everything, right? Put money in that bank account. We did all that. Just researched it, just did it, right? And luckily, on my 24th birthday, when they fired me, we already had the business operating, leveraged some of the connections from Bally's to be able to get some clients, some notable clients off the top, Falcons, Hawks, Hartsfield-Jackson National Airport, and a couple apartments in the city of Atlanta, downtown city of Atlanta. So we were working with them. And our whole concept was helping companies save on their healthcare costs by providing worksite wellness programs. So at the onset, my business partner and I would go into the locations ourselves. Once we got a little capital, we started hiring independent contractors to go in, chiropractors, massage therapists, and personal trainers to go in to companies and help them on the healthcare costs by having healthier employees. Lucky, you want to say something?
Yeah, yeah. No? You know, the more and more that, like, I hear you, especially like these stories, like, obviously, like, you're a hustler. Were you ever scared when you started, you know, training your teachers, or when you got those contracts? Because, like, when my dad told me that you were training the Atlanta Hawks cheerleaders, I was like, what? Like, how did that conversation go? How did you even think about that? Because I was, like, floored at the time. Like, how did that even come about?
Great question. Thanks for asking, brother. Now you got me going back into the actual inner workings of that, right? So was I scared? At times, yes. But I think one thing about youth and being young, as you know, sometimes you don't even know what you're supposed to be scared of, so you just do it. You know what I'm saying? But now, how do we get that? So it's funny you ask that. Before I got let go at Bally's, there was a young lady that would come in, and because I was manager, you know, one of the jobs of being, reason why I like sales jobs, because you learn how to be, you know, front-facing to the clients, right? You know how to be front-facing to a customer. Mm-hmm. So you have to be personable. You have to be outgoing, gregarious, and, you know, talk to people. So one of the young ladies that would come in, and I was 23, 24, not trying to holler at her, right? You know, yes, I like women, but, but I was respectful, you know? So she could tell, you know, every time I see her, hey, how you doing? She saw my consistency. And then I was representing the art or the craft of being a wellness professional, because I looked the part, right? So she knew I could represent her well. So one day we just got to talking. I was like, you know what, you're a cheerleader, right? Because I knew she was a cheerleader. And she's like, yeah, I cheerleader for the Falcons, or the Hawks. And I was like, you guys need a trainer? I just asked her. I said, do you guys need a trainer? And she was like, you know what, it's funny you should ask that. We were just talking about that recently. They just said they got a budget for something like that, right? So again, opportunity, just, and being a prize of not being stuck in, you know, at the time, I'm, you know, and I knew my job was on the fritz there at Bally's. I knew that, but I didn't give a fuck. I'm like, you know, because I started my business, right? But I also knew I didn't know what I was doing with my business, but I need business. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the funny thing is this one, to answer your question about being afraid. So real quick. So me and my business partner, Akil, this is our first real business meeting, right? Two things. We go into Phillips. So it was at the time, it's Phillips Arena. Mm-hmm. And the head of, so now I think it's State Farm Arena now. Mm-hmm. But the head of the Hawks operations was called Atlanta Spirit. So we went to Atlanta Spirit and we sit down at a conference table. Now, mind you, we had to go buy suits. We didn't have any suits. We went to Burlington Coat Factory and bought, like, this is how broke we were. We went and brought, it was a 2-for-1 deal. So I got two suits. It wasn't tailored. I'm lean. My guy, my business partner, he's a little shorter than me. It's funny because I'm thinking to myself, sorry, let me bring this out to you guys so you can understand. The suits weren't tailored, right? But we just got them. We just knew black suits, ties. Went into Atlanta Spirit on like the 20th floor of the high rise downtown Atlanta. And we're at a conference table. This is our first real meeting, right? And we put together this at the time. This is 2006, 2007-ish. We put together a PowerPoint presentation, right? This is at those times you did that shit, right? And I was like, you know, from my college day, I was like, look, we're going to put together a PowerPoint. It's going to be on the laptop, right? He had the laptop. I didn't. And then we're going to print one out at Kinko's. So we have two versions in case the laptop go out. This is back in the day. So we go in there, mind you, Joaquin, this again, you don't know, but you just go out and you just try to learn, do, right?
Right.
So we're in the conference, brother, and me and him think, because it's the Atlanta Hawks, right? And they want to hire trainers. And we know what we charge per hour. We know we charge weekly and monthly, da-da-da-da-da, right? So you're like, look, we're going to get it. We're going to do $200K a year training 16 girls for the Atlanta Hawks. So we're going to propose to them, pay us $200K a year to train their girls. You know, we broke down how many times a week per girl, how much that is, you know what I'm saying? But we were training them. Didn't have a gym, didn't have anything, right? And we were like, $200K. They were so kind. They looked at us. They were like, cheerleaders are not an income generation for just the cheerleaders. Like, okay. So they're like, look, we'll look at your proposal and we'll come back to you later. Luckily for us, bruh, they were like, look, we'll pay you at the time, I think it was like 10 or 15K, and then they'll give us free marketing in the Jumbotron in the arena during the game. So they'll put our logo across the ticker tape. And so people will, you know, and they'll make an announcement after each time the girls, because they go to the court like twice, you know, do the little dances or whatever.
Right.
So they'll make an announcement as to we're the ones who train them after that, right? Mind you, the ticker tape costs, they have packages that companies pay for these things. Again, I didn't know this at the time, but I'm learning. You know, so normally that package is like a 30K situation, 50K, or, you know, depending on how many, from the size, what you want, if it's logo, if you want them saying something, all that comes at a cost. That's how these companies make money, right? And that's names. And then even being announced after the girls go to court, you know, that type of thing, that was like a 50K, 60K situation, right? Per announcement type shit, right? They gave that to us in compensation for the amount that we asked for range-wise. They made that, they subsidized that with that and gave us cash in the amount that they could.
Yeah.
So this is why I say sometimes it's important that you just blindly go into the thing. And you do the best you can to present yourself the best way. We went suited. We went with, at the time, which was necessary, PowerPoint. We presented ourselves well, gave a 20-minute presentation as to who we are, our background, asked for an outrageous amount, but they came back with something that allowed us to grow our brand within Atlanta, Georgia. And it helped tremendously. So when we went into, you know, different companies, Heinz Growing, an insurance company that ended up taking us from here to Atlanta to California, it made sense when we can represent and say, hey, when you go to the game and you hear our name, right? Or we send them to our, because we also got suite access too. They gave us a free suite, you know, so we could send clients and do deals, right? It was a win-win. So I know that was a long roundabout, but that's what happens though when you might be afraid, which I was, but I was also too ignorant and too young and too stupid to know what I was afraid of. And I just went and took the action.
Mm-hmm.
And because we took the action, we had they were like our longest stay client. I think we worked for them like 7 years. Was able to bring parents down, and my pops got a chance to go into the court and be in the arena, you know, the suite, and he got a chance to do the halftime, you know, shooting thing, game, you know, and it was all free for them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to generate another 6-figure deals off of that because of what we built, right? So, thanks for asking that question, but that's how we were able to do it though, brother. That's how we were able to do it. So took that, went out to LA. And mind you, and pardon me for, because I have a daughter.
Uh-huh.
So when I got fired from Bally's, my daughter was 3 or 4 months old at that time. I had her out of wedlock. But so, ladies and gentlemen, when you listen to us, we have lived. You know what I'm saying? We've done it. We've been through the ebb and flow. Mine has been more like Joaquin said, being, you know, quote unquote hustler, but being more of an entrepreneur, trying to build businesses. Because the great thing about us when we were at our peak with that company, Quick Fitness Solutions was the name of that company, we had somewhere between 20 and 20, 25 trainers almost between California and Georgia. And they were trained between trainers, chiropractors, massage therapists. We had that whole spectrum, independent contractors, but we were to pay them well. And this is back in like what King said, when, you know, rents were like, you know, $600, $700 rent. So, you know, to take care of someone's, you know, rent was dope. You know what I'm saying? When you're creating a business, and just because you had an idea, and it was so beautiful when you have an idea and a concept and you see it come to fruition and you see other people using that concept that you just had a few months ago or a few years ago, you know what I'm saying? But we walk into companies and people are wearing our logo, you know, because we just did a giveaway for the participants of a 6-week program, you know, and they're wearing our logo. You know, it was just awesome. You know, we're seeing our independent contractors wear our, you know, wear our logo and represent the company model, right? That type of thing. So, but, and I don't want to sound egoish with that. I'm saying, but that's what drives me to want to push and build, right? And not just stay complacent with allowing another entity to use and leverage my abilities, right? I'm always curious as to what I can do to build something else, right? So did that, went out to LA, lost the business, right? Got over leveraged. You know, you get sued by a few people, you know, trying to do some different things. And you know, that's just business. You know, it's not, when I say that, it doesn't mean you're always doing something wrong. It's just somebody took something wrong and they wanted to do something and you may not have enough money, don't have proper key man insurance in place, don't have insurance in place for the company. And then you get over leveraged and got to pay somebody and all you had was, you know, $12,000. You know what I'm saying? They want that, you know? Yeah. So these are things you learn, right? But I lost everything going out to LA. Had to come back and live on my parents' couch, homeless technically, you know what I'm saying? Thank God I had them to, you know, lean on. But Joaquin has talked about and other things that he's going to bring back to the light. And please stop me if you have any questions, Joaquin. I know I can run.
You good? You're back.
He's brought to light because he lives this and I love it about him. We never do the woe is me or have self-pity or ask why me. And he's very big about that. And I love him for that. And I've learned throughout the years watching him in that process. And at this time, when I was on the couch with my parents, literally, I just went out to L.A., guys. I mean, I was living. I was going to Jamie Foxx's house for a New Year's party. I'm out there turning up, going to Vegas. I'm living my best. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can tell you boy nothing. You know what I'm saying? I was out doing my own business until I lost that bitch. You know what I'm saying? You can tell me nothing, right? But so I'm saying it because in fall from grace, if you will, or, you know, traumatic. I could have been depressed, but like Joaquin said, one thing I never stopped. Even when I was on my parents' couch, I still had the LA Fitness gym membership. I still go for runs, even though I couldn't afford it at that moment. I would still go for runs or do calisthenics, right? I would still eat healthy. I would still have my tilapia. At the time, it was tilapia and broccoli because that's all I could afford. You know what I'm saying? So I'll go to Walmart, get the big bag, 2-pound bag, give me the little frozen broccoli. That was good enough. And I had that. I had my gallon of water, even if I had to refill it from the sink. I stayed with that. Mm-hmm. Even when shit hit the fan. And it did. Mm-hmm. I'm on a couch at my parents' place. I had just purchased their place a year prior to before I moved out to L.A. I just bought them, moved in from Cleveland down. And Joaquin could tell you, just moved in from Cleveland down to Atlanta. And now I'm sleeping on their couch, y'all. So this shit gets real lifey. But what you can't do is allow yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Right, true.
You allow yourself to succumb to the perceived failure. Mm-hmm. What I did during that time, kept the workouts and I started reading. Eckhart Tolle, New Earth, reread Greatest Salesman in the World, went to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, dived into, I know because these were the books, I was in them all at the same time while trying to figure my shit out. Because I never said, like Joaquin said, I never said, why me? Mm-hmm. When you start saying, why me, you are letting your ego get in the way. You feel like you're above the fray and this shouldn't happen to you. And that's a bunch of bullshit because at the end of the day, you're human. It's going to happen when you're trying to pursue outside of what is the norm or what is the perceived norm. You're going to hit roadblocks and some of these roadblocks are going to knock the ground right underneath you.
Yes.
But if you stay focused and if you stay diligent with the proper routines, which we're going to bring to you guys, we'll break this stuff down, how we did it and how we got back on our grind and how we continue to build. You can get through it. And you know, and the funny thing about Joaquin, and maybe you can attest to this, you get through it relatively quickly too.
Yeah.
You know, I know it seems like it was as long drawn. What do you think?
Yeah.
If you stay focused.
Yeah. You'll like, while you're in it, it feels like it's a lot longer than it actually is. But I mean, it's only a period of time. And, you know, to piggyback off, you know, what you're saying about why me, a lot of you guys probably have watched Mike Tyson fight, right? And he goes, like, everybody got a plan until they get punched in the face. You're going to get punched in the face, right? So just know that for sure, right? So, you know, just, you know, being able to, you know, continue to push through that. And when you get punched in the face, you know, just don't let out the canvas. You know, get back up, dust yourself off, and, you know, find ways. You have to find ways to keep going, right? Because that's just life. So, you know, just...
Right.
Make sure you get back up and dust it off. And go ahead, Mark.
No, I totally agree with you. You're absolutely correct. It's funny why I came because, you know, if you're in the tech industry, and because we're talking to you tech guys out here, right? Let's just say you're making 160K a year position. Fantastic. You've been doing it now for the past 5 or 6 years. But now, you know, you might have just got laid off, right? You got hit in the face. You know, you got hit. You had a plan, but now you got hit. You can't really go. You've been kind of, you know, leaning on your savings a little bit recently, right? You can't go into your investments because you pull those out, then, you know, like this shot, we know how that is, right? But you got a $500,000 house, you know, you got, you know, two Bentleys out front, right? That type of thing. And you're like, what do I do next, right? Uh-huh. Well, what you do is you get back on to your routine. You get back into rebuilding the person you are. This is just part of the journey. Like Joaquin said, it's temporary. All this stuff, all this stuff is always temporary, but it's only as temporary if you allow it to be. If you start to allow yourself to wander and get off track and start to blame and, you know, well, they should have, they this, then your energy is going the wrong direction. All right. So we're going to help make sure you bring it back in. So but yeah, my journey is, and I'm sharing this with you so you just know it was real, it happened. I was able to get myself back out to LA because of what I was able to grind and focus. I made some connections and I was able to get back out there real quick. got back out there, still trying to grow the business that we had lost. So I attended some HR Star conferences out there, SHRM conferences to try to, you know, rebuild the connection. But we were just so far behind the eight ball as far as actual entity and the industry has shifted. Technology came on board, wearables. Companies are able to track better and have more aggregate, you know, tracking of their employees, you know, health activities that we could not afford to create. We didn't have a budget. We lost things, right? But so I went and pivoted. I went into going back into what I was good at, which was training.
Mm-hmm.
And so got a chance to be connected to some luminaries. I got a chance to train Stevie Wonder in his late 60s.
That's crazy. That is so crazy.
Right? Right. You know, and the funny thing, Joaquin, people always say, well, he's still fat. He'll tell you that himself. Yeah. Again, health and wellness is not just about the aesthetic. If you didn't hear what Joaquin was saying, it's not about the aesthetic, guys. That's just the icing on the cake. It's about, if you didn't hear what I was saying, I stayed with my workouts. It wasn't about me looking good when I was on parents' couch. It was about having a structure and a routine to stave off depression,
mm-hmm.
to be able to have emotional balance when things are struggling and things are intense.
Mm-hmm.
So with Steve, because of my acumen and my knowledge and training, because of how I deliver myself, he saw in me, because I was early 30s, I was your age, literally, when I was training him and I met him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's already freaking Stevie Wonder, you know,
right,
but
right.
His people brought me around him because they could see I could deliver a certain way of connecting to him,
mm-hmm.
to help him with his wellness, but also to bring some kind of calm that he needed at that particular time in order to keep him growing and keep him going as the man that we know him to be and the people that, you know, the world loves, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the world loves him. So, but it is beautiful. To this day, I still can call him and we still talk. We just talked a few weeks ago and, you know, call him Big Bro. So it's awesome. Was able to train him, Mariah Carey, Gabrielle Union, before she's Gabrielle Union Wade, but also got her wedding ready for the wedding to Mr. Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm.
So was able to help her take care of that. This is years ago, but this is what I was able to get back on track after I lost everything, quote unquote. Right. Fast forward. I'm doing well living in LA. Joaquin comes out to see me. We have a good time.
You're in Studio City at the time, right?
Right. Studio City. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. So Studio City, guys, it's a nice little area. But again, this is all over the world. So, you know, if you have been to LA, go to Studio City. You'll love it. If you haven't, go. It's good. If you're there, keep turning up. It's a great time. But yeah, I met a young lady, like Joaquin, you know, we're young guys, you know, we take care of ourselves well, but I met a beautiful young lady. And we were able to, at the time, social media was really taking off, right? So this is 2015, 16-ish. And I was training a young lady who was 21, 22 years of age, who had 300K followers at that time. And she was selling workout programs online. I'm like, well, I'm training you, which, you know, that's, you know, we all, you know, trainers get trainers if you're smart, right? But she wasn't certified, but she was using my knowledge to help her. And so I was like, how are you doing this? Because I didn't understand social media. I'm not really a tech guy like that, right? Even though this is higher power tech, I'm still not a tech guy. I am the big picture guy, right? And I know my place, but I always surround myself with quality individuals who know their craft and know it very fucking well. And then I learned and I pivoted that. So my lady at the time, she just moved to LA. I'm doing fine. I'm training my celebrities. I'm doing fine. She moves in with me, but she needed something to do because she had just moved out there. And so we were trying to figure out what could she do. So I asked my client, could my lady do that? She said, yeah. At the time, my young lady only had like 1,000 followers, which is still solid at that time, right? But she wasn't using the platform in any type of way to make business. So we built her platform in like a year and a half to like 130K followers. Started doing challenges and sales and digital workout programs. She was 51% owner in the company. I was 49% because she was a Black female. So that could also allow us to, you know, do different things for, you know, if you don't know, if you're not aware, you know, you can get different loans, you can get different grants even. And, you know, so we positioned it that way on purpose, but we were making good money. So we would drop a program in like 6-7 days, she'd make between 6 and 8K in 5-6 days. So I'm always constantly reading. We did a book club. We did a Ray Dalio's book. You know Ray Dalio, right?
No, I haven't heard of him. Not till now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So Ray Dalio, we were doing his book and I can't think of the name of it, but he has some very good books, but we were doing a book club at a time. And then, that book led me into Tony Robbins' Money Master the Game. So we're making good money. We're living in LA. We're going to, you know, to Mastro's. We're going out to Beverly Hills. We're going to, you know, Bel Air, staying, you know, a couple nights in the Beverly Hills Hotel. You know, we're doing it, you know, living, but blowing money though too, right? So the books are saying that you could travel, and I had never traveled. Now, even though, yes, I was with Stevie, I was with Mariah, everything that we did was all domestic. I never got international with them. And all my clients, even with them, obviously Gabrielle, you know, they were able to go international, right? And I had never been international before, and I always wanted to do that. So Tony was saying in the book, you could live like a king or queen for a fraction of cost internationally, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have everything set up. And I'm like, well, we're making our money through our phone right now. Like, literally, we'd be asleep. And we're getting $3,000, $5,000, literally coming through our phone. You know, the whole cha-ching, you know, from Shopify. You know? So I'm like, we don't have to be here, right? So I turned to her and I'm like, would you be okay if the next year we live abroad? She was like kind of like what Kim's lady did to him, I did to her, right? And she was like what Kim, she's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
That's an easy yes. That's an easy yes.
Right? Right? Like it's no brainer. You have to think about that one. So we packed up. I was renting at the time. We packed up, had to sell our cars. That's it. And, you know, some clothes and stuff. So we pack up everything. We just left our suitcase and we dip out. We started for what was supposed to be just a year, ended up being total in totality 3.5 years. But we did touch back to the United States once. But we started in Costa Rica, went to Panama, Colombia, Dubai, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, love Bali, and then ended up being Mexico and
always,
then Brazil.
I always wanted to see the rice. Did you get a chance to see like the rice fields out there in Bali?
Oh yeah, yeah, sir, yes, sir. Did the swinging out there in the, you know, in the rice fields. It's an animal. It's an animal that their shit is actually turned into tea.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to that location. I forget what it is. You know, I got pictures and videos, all that stuff. And mind you guys, it's kind of like people like, yeah, right. Because I don't have an Instagram. And, I don't even know. So people like, did you really do this? Yeah, I did. He knows. But
yeah.
So I didn't do the rice. So we went to that location where they actually sold that tea. And we did the swing in the rice over the rice fields and all that stuff. Nice. We did that. It was dope. Yeah, it was romantic. So, yeah. We did that, man. And we were running a business, and like any business, you have to be able to pivot. What you heard Joaquin talk about pivoting. When we initially started on our travels, we were doing digital workout programs through. And at this time, this was still like, you know, the new thing on in social media where, you know, you had companies that were doing like Skinny Tea and, you know, your Gymshark and, you know, your different things like that, of course. And they would, you know, give you affiliates to other influencers in that,
mm-hmm.
but not too many fitness influencers were still creating their own online digital workout programs that were automated to sell. My client did, who taught us, and then we did the same thing, right? Our way. So when we first hit the road between South America, when we got to South America, Cartagena, Medellin, and Colombia, I started seeing a knockoff as far as our sales started to decline. We get across to Dubai. And if you ever been to Dubai, you have to use a VPN in Dubai because it's, you know, it's a Muslim country. They're very particular as what comes in their airways and what doesn't, right? They use a VPN in order to be able to, you know, see anything outside. Even at that, it has to be a specific VPN. Now, this is back in 2019. So our sales started to suffer, guys. So what I had to realize, because that was what was keeping us afloat, like Joaquin, that was what was keeping us afloat to travel.
Right.
So our programs, $15, $20 for a program, we would get people anywhere between 200 to say 400 people to buy it. So that's why we were able to, in a 6-7 day period, that's why we were able to get the 6 to 8K, 9K, you know, in 5-7 days. But once I started seeing it shift, where even though we had an email list, and we did have our email list, it still didn't move the same, right? So I had to pivot us into a larger product offering. So we created a course. You heard Joaquin talk about he purchased our course.
Get that.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. That was the Fitness Blueprint. So we created the course, the Fitness Influencer Blueprint, and we were selling that for a larger price point now. So now we didn't need the necessary 300 or 400 people to see us. We just needed, say, 20 or 30, right? Which makes a big difference. And also, too, but you have to build out a product that would make sense, you know, for someone to pay $500 to $1,000. You know what I'm saying? So we did that, but it was still predicated upon my business partner, my partner at the time, she was the face and she was the, you know, the face and her, it was her platform. So if people weren't seeing that, we wouldn't get, you know, get sales. And if an email list just, it just started to kind of, you know, because people were starting, you know, do that. So people were starting to get aware of it, right? Then COVID hits. We're in Bali, Indonesia. So Joaquin was in Koh Samui, Thailand.
Yep.
We were in Bali. So when you talked about seeing, you know, the island, the small island be like New York, you're absolutely correct. Because we had just spent New Year's, right? The previous New Year's, we had just spent in Bali. So we brought New Year's fireworks over the cliff, had a villa, had the, you know, had the, I mean, it was amazing. What did kids say? It was a movie. It was a literal movie, right? So we knew what Bali was at its height, right? But then when COVID hit, you started, like, you know, like you said, the flight routes starting to shut down. Not seeing people, you know, people started dispersed. They weren't coming in. The Europeans weren't coming in because they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally saw, like, so we were at the Edge Hotel, which is the pool that has, you can see through the bottom of it off of the cliff. Mm-hmm. And so you can see the ocean down below.
Right.
That the Edge, normally you got to pay like, you know, $30, $40 for a day pass, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And it's on certain days, it's normally booked, so you can't really get in. We went in that bad boy because nobody was there. So, but we didn't, you know, because, you know, like you said, it was so quiet and calm. You know what I'm saying? We didn't, you know, we didn't feel the same angst that the rest of the world felt because of it was, you know, lovely, you know, the island of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Koh Samui was the same way. It's so small and it's off the beaten path. The people don't feel the same angst and energy, right? Even though we all knew something was going on,
right?
So we decide to actually, because it was me and her, and we'd already been gone out the country for about a year and a half at this point, we decided to actually go on and say, let's get back to the States, because also, too, our money was getting too thin because of, like I was saying, what was happening. People didn't know. People didn't want to spend because we didn't know what was going on, mm-hmm. right? So we go back to the States. We stay in Arizona at my best friend's place for a minute. And again, pivot. I'm bringing all this to you guys so you can understand life is not a cutter. It's never a clear path necessarily, but you have to be open even through chaos and trauma. To me, and Joaquin, you could probably speak to this real quick. Through chaos, honestly, is where you can find the answers you're looking for if you're stoic enough to be still within the noise. What do you think?
Yeah. I feel like if you're, you guys have probably heard like the whole Will Smith thing. If you're just willing to push past that fear on the opposite side of that fear, you'll find what you want. Dude, if you can just push through that, you know, if you can get through that, like that shitty part or that part that you can't necessarily see and just be curious about what's on the other side. I mean, like you never know. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where it's kind of like, why continue to do the same things that have gotten you like the same result? You know, every now and then, or, you know, it's good to go down that route where you have no idea what's going to happen, right? And because you have no idea what's going to happen, you have no idea what's going to happen. It could be really great and it could be not so great. But like, it's still, those are paths that should be like ventured down, because those are things you'll come across that give you either like the greatest idea, or, you know, you'll find some networking group, or you might get the result that you want, but it'll be something new that you haven't been exposed to yet that you probably need to, you know, get to where you want to go. So like you said, you definitely got to, you know, push past that fear so you can, you know, literally see what's on the other side.
You are so right, brother. And I've heard that phrase and I've thought about that many times when I jumped out the plane years ago. Thought about that on the other side of fear, because he talks about that.
Uh-huh.
That's when he talks about it, when he took his kids to Dubai and, you know, the whole leading up to it, they're terrified. But then he gets out there and he's like, oh my God, this is amazing. What was I afraid of this whole time, right?
Uh-huh.
But one thing you talked about too, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right? And I think you are so right about that. We get so comfortable with being uncomfortable that we get complacent and we get kind of like a deer in headlights, you know, through life. And it doesn't need to be that way. It's so exciting. And yes, it is nerve wracking. You asked earlier, was I afraid? I'm still afraid now, you know what I'm saying? And I have a business, you know, I have this business with you and another, you know, the Kane Ross business. And, you know, every time we go into our data centers, even though we have staff over there, Amex, you know, we have staff over there, I'm still afraid, but it's a different type of and I say afraid loosely, right? It's more of an excitement. Let me say that, more of an excitement. Because I know when I calm myself and I go through the unknown, like you said, on the other side of that, so much comes from that. You know, you look at nature, you know, a hurricane, a typhoon, whatever you want to call the horrific, you know, natural disasters, we call them, right? But every single time those things hit, you know what it does? It unearths something else new. It breathes new life, you know, but it has to be that thing that's so, to the human eye, so devastating, right? So financially devastating to a city. So, you know, I lost someone in it. Yes, you might lose someone. You might lose, you know, but at the same token, do we really lose? Because with that, new life is formed. You know what I'm saying? So, again, not to get too off esoteric, but I agree with you, everything you're saying. And this is why we live, and this is why we do this, why we bring this platform to you guys, because we're not talking like this enough in corporate sectors, in IT sectors, whether you are a candidate trying to be hired, whether you are a recruiting agent, whether you are the company trying to find the talent. We are skipping past the humanity. We're skipping past the importance of an individual knowing how to be a real individual and a real person while trying to be on the pursuit of your dreams and your desires and your goals. This is why Joaquim and I are fit to be here talking to you guys and bringing this to you, because we've been through the ebb and flow. We've been through it and we're still going through it. But we've been able to position ourselves where we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And a lot of you are struggling trying to see that light because you feel like you're in the throes of it all right now. You're in the midst of the, I don't know, I can't see, you know, it's even though I think I did everything X, Y, Z correctly, I still don't necessarily know if it's going to pan out the way I want, right? Uh-huh. And we're here to tell you, like Joaquim said, you can come to us as a community. You can come talk to us. You can come listen to us because we've been through it. And we're here to tell you, you're right on the right journey. You're right on the right path and you will figure it out and you're figuring it out. Stay in that lane. Don't get outside of that. All right.
Go ahead. And I was going to say, and I'm glad that you touched on that because, like if you guys have played on a sport, which I'm assuming that you guys have played on some sort of sport in your earlier days, it's a lot easier to get through things when you're, going after something with guys that have the same goal as you. Right. Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, say you do, you know, fall off track, or you do have an injury, or, you know, you do just have a down mental day. You still have those guys around you in that environment and that atmosphere to remind you of what the goal is. So it is so important, you know, to have a network like Higher Power Tech to, you know, be able to, you know, speak to guys that you can relate with, speak to guys that are going through the same thing, speak to guys that have been through that and have gotten through it. So, you know, like Marcus said, you know, it's about that network. It's about that community that you can come through, that you can come to get through whatever, and get the answers that you need so you can continue pushing.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So yeah, guys, and I, so I'm gonna wrap up real quick my journey. Cause you guys, I'm 43. So I lived a life, as you can tell. Sorry if it's a little long winded, but this is the only time we'll be this long about ourselves with this, because we just want to make sure you understand, you know, why you are hopefully intrigued to stay with us and continue growing with us, right? So we made that pivot with the business during COVID. But then what I had to see is once we got back to the States, everything was starting to get on lockdown, right? And another pivot had to happen because people were doing digital workout programs, but people were afraid. And also we were still off the actual connection. So what I had to see was if a lot of trainers at the time, you know, because people couldn't do anything in person, right? So they were going online, but none of them had online digital workouts. They were trying to figure out, could they do it, set up a Zoom, you know, could they do a live training, all that stuff. I was like, look, why don't we go after large accounts? And since if they don't have digital workout programs, we will provide that for them by giving them white labeling what we had. We already had the setups between the Shopify links, you know, the PayPal links. We already had the websites put up. We can create a website quickly because my partner, she was very good at doing that. And we can create it for them, label it as theirs, you know, and then we can link it. We did that. We had ladies in Brazil. We had one young lady with 12 million followers. Yeah. We had a young lady in Ecuador with 1.2 million. We had a young lady in Colombia who had 3.1 million. We had a young lady in California who had 2 million followers herself. Actually, no, she had 3 million followers. We had a young lady out of Florida with 300K followers, another one in D.C. So we had women, we had a team. They were all women at the time because my business partner, she's female. It just made sense to, again, niche down, right? So we did that, right? And we niched down to other fitness female influencers, and it took off for about a year. And then we got back to spending and traveling, and that's when we went to Mexico. We went to Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. Oh that's my God.
El Gosto de Brazil.
Muito El Gosto de Brazil, do Brasil. So I love it. Eu falo português um pouco. So did that. And then another pivot happens. Lose that business, right? Not only did I lose that business, lost that love, right? She decided not whether they work together at the same time or not, or the reason, because I lost the business, I lost the lady, or I lost the lady, lost the business, I lost it, right? So I had to start pivot one more time. Luckily, when we were in Bali, and I'm wrapping up here, guys. Luckily, when I was in Bali, I started Kane Ross with a good friend of mine who was a silent partner, but started Kane Ross, and we were able to grow that business slowly because my main focus at the time was still building the online business that I had that, you know, was working, right? But I always had that in the background. Again, seeing opportunity and being ready and being open to, you know, bringing on something new. So when I got back, lost that business, I had to get a 9-to-5 for the first time in 20 years, guys. So I had to come back here to the States, had to work at Chase, got a job at Chase through a connection of mine. A friend of mine was pretty high up, C-suite exec there, and did the menial telework, but focused on rebuilding Kane Ross and really putting boots to the ground and really trying to drive businesses, going to different conferences, Crunch Tech, going to different, you know, government conferences in Miami to grow the business, right? Did that, did the boots to the ground, sweat equity, all that stuff, and have been able to over the past few years. Last year, we did a little over 400K. This year, we're on track to do a little bit over right underneath a million this year in profit or in margins for the company. Now, it doesn't mean that's what I'm pocketing, but that means is what we're doing as far as bringing in new talent and growing the business. So it can happen, right? And now getting ready to embark upon getting back into national waters again. Some of the clients we work with, they have business over in Singapore. So get back over there, talk with them. And also trying to build some things in South America and establish some contacts over there. So, guys, when I sit here and tell you that it is possible to go through the struggles, and it should, it's called fucking growing pains for a reason. Let me just say that to you. It's called growing pains for a reason. Everything is analogous to everything else. Everything that we go through in life is a thin line between everything. So we think going through growing pains is just between puberty, right? That, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14. No, growing pains, if you're willing to continue to pursue, as Joaquim has said, if you're willing to go and see what's on the other side of fear, it's growth. It's that what we call in tech business, right? In school, right? Learning curve, right? It's that learning curve. In that learning curve, you got to take the curve and learn, and you know, what you don't know, go ask questions and, you know, think you got it right and put down this answer and find out that was completely wrong. And you spent hours and days on that, right? Mm-hmm. The growth, it's the same thing with trying to matriculate through your professional prowess and career, and if you're an entrepreneur like me or a business owner like I am, it's the same process. And to think you're exempt or above the fray for that happening to you, get over yourself. That's why we're here. Get over yourself. You are actually at the right place at the right time and doing the right things if you're feeling that. This is the thing you got to remember too, and I'm going to bring it home here for us to close it out, Joaquim, and you can jump in.
Okay.
You got to think of it from the standpoint, if everything is calm and easy, something's wrong. They always used to say, and you know this, Joaquin, always used to say, if everybody likes you, something's wrong with you, because that means you're being two-faced in some way, shape, or form. Because there's no way everybody can like you, because everybody has their own personality, everybody has their own thing. But if everybody likes you, something ain't right with you. So you ain't doing something right, right? If everything is going awry in life to you right now, you're probably doing the right thing. Because you're staying 10 toes down on what you feel you need to do, but you're also willing to go through that problem, that circumstance, or what I like to say, your puzzle. You're going through that puzzle search and trying to figure things out. Joaquim, because we're ex-athletes, we bring, you know, athletics into it. But any athlete would tell you, what LeBron had to go through 8 years before he won a title.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan had to go through Detroit Pistons and, you know, everybody, Celtics beating his butt for the first, you know, first 3 years of his career. And then he was able to, you know, hit a home run and hit consistency of championships, right? But he had to go through those first 2 years where he was getting his butt kicked. You know what I'm saying? We all have to do that. Go ahead, Joaquin.
Right. You know, and just to, you know, piggyback off of that, when you're, I mean, just think about it as, you know, say you're in the gym, you know, say you're trying to, you know, get rid of whatever weight, or say you're trying to put on weight, right? There, you're going to have a little bit of physical stress, like while you're in the gym, right? But once you get through that, you get what you want. You know, say when you are studying for your interview for the big job that you have, or for the big job that you had, you're going to go through like some sort of stress, right, to get to that end result. So you're gonna go through something ugly, right? But as we said, like on the other side, it's everything that you want. So just be willing to continue to do whatever you got to do. You know, get your hands dirty so that, you know, at the end of the day, like, you're solid. So
yeah, man. So we're gonna bring the clarity to you more of what we're talking about. We just want to give you a background on who we are. That it has not been pretty. And if it sure. is, somebody's lying. Yeah. If anybody tells you they joint has been pretty, man, they lying. I'm trying to say that right now. But we are sitting here with you, in front of you, not just to, you know, sell you on anything. It's not about that, really. It's really just to help educate, and like you said, build a community and have real, genuine, honest talk about real shit that has happened, mm-hmm. that is happening, that we're trying to go towards. So as we bring more episodes to you guys, we're going to discuss more, you know, tangible, technical things, you know, from different things in DevOps, different things in C++, different things in resume building, different things in how to, you know, build certain networks and communities, what boot camps you want to look for, what certifications you might want to look for, how to present oneself within these softwares of these search engines. So we'll bring technicalities to you. And we'll also bring to you a course that we are going to drop top of this year, upcoming year. We'll let you know when the sales open up for that. But that course is going to walk you through modules where you have video conversation, you'll have exams, if you will, on how to apply what we're giving you, and then step-by-step approaches to, you know, we gave you the generalities of what we had to go through, but we're going to give you the actual, you know, secret, if you will, to the steps of what we took and that we're currently still taking to this day that allow us to continue to be ready for the pivots, that allow us to be able to be stoic and be ready to stand still and be successful within the thing. And also too, to be able to not fall into, you know, the depressional states or the emotional ebb and flow and being woe is me, right?
Right.
We have systems that we use that we've created, not just from ourselves, but from the books that we've read, from the courses that we've purchased, from the time that we put in, from doing the things that we do, you know? And so we want to bring that to you guys. What do you want to say, Joaquin?
Yeah, no. I feel like if you go back and specifically like Mark's journey for sure, there's been about 3, 4, 5, 6 times where, you know what I'm saying, he had to make that pivot. He had the skills, he had a simple conversation, and another door opened, right? So that's what it's all about. And Mark will definitely be able to drop about 15 billion books for you. So, you guys ever need a book reference, you know, you got Mark right there for you. So, you know, doesn't seem too amazed with the book title. So, I mean, you got people here that, like we said, have been punched, you know, we're still pushing, and, you know, we're doing whatever needs to be done in order to, you know, get to the other side. So, you know, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, we got you, man. One last real quick story, just real quick, because you said that book thing, man, it made me think back to my LA time. So Todd Smith, I had a chance to build his in-home gym in one of his homes. Todd Smith is LL Cool J. I had a chance to work with him and meet with him for a period of time. And the first time I got, well, technically it was the second time I got a chance to have a conversation with him, because I was actually building his in-home gym in one of his places over in North Hollywood. And when I was in his basement where he wanted the gym being put up and all that, I noticed it was like this big, like just huge shelf of books, right? Just massive. And, you know, audio, CDs of just, you know, anybody from Tony Robbins to, anybody near Brian Tracy to everybody, you know what I'm saying? To anything that you can think of. So the next time I got a chance, you know, so he walked me through how he wanted the gym set up and all that stuff. And so the next time I got a chance to talk to him, like a week later, because he's a very busy man, obviously, right? At the time when I met him, his net worth was $400 million, I think, at that time. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, straight up. So I got a chance to talk to him and I was like, you know what, Mr. Smith, like, you know, what book would you recommend me to read? You know, and he asked a very good question. You know, he was like, well, where are you right now in your life? And I was like, huh? You know, I'm thinking I'm doing something by asking about a book, right? Yes. He's like, yo, but where are you? So, like, he was ready. Like, he was like, you know, I just can't give you a book because, you know, there's plenty of them out here. He's like, where are you? Like, are you trying to, you know, improve your finances? Are you trying to improve your business? Are you trying to improve, you know, your spiritual life? And I was like, well, you know, to be honest with you, it took me a second, but I was like, my spirit, because at that time I was still trying, like, I was running business and I was trying to figure out if I wanted to travel and all that stuff. Yeah. And we were doing fine. But I was like, my spiritual life was kind of all over the place. So he gave me a book, and that book was Celestine Prophecy. So, you know, he had it for me the next time I came. He didn't have it for me right there. He had it for me the next time I came. But that always let me know, because it was dope, because LL Cool J, he took time to, first off, I was just one of his employees at that moment. You know, I'm building his gym, you know, and that, I never seen him again after that, right? Well, actually, I did see him again, but we didn't really hang out like that. Like I got a chance to do with, you know, my other luminaries in the industry. But he took time to really ask questions, and then he took time to take a step back and then think about what it is that I needed and deliver a quality, you know, piece of, you know, literature that could help me. You know what I'm saying? And that's exactly why I'm happy to bring this platform with you, Joaquin, to these people, because you're right. I do have a litany of books. But not everything is meant for everybody at every point in time in their life. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to unfold at this on this platform is why I like this. If you guys are willing to join us, comment, like, subscribe, share with everybody, all that great stuff, hit the bell, all that great stuff. If you guys are willing, I promise you, Joaquin and I will take a step back once you reach out to us. And we'll do the research to find what's the right piece of literature, what the right boot camp, what the right, you know, contact is, to help you on your track and your trajectory, because someone did it for me. Mm-hmm. Someone did it for me who was literally didn't have to. $400 million. By the time I met the man, he is LL Cool J. You know what I'm saying? He done did the whole, you know, karaoke show. He hosted, you know, whatever he did the show. The Grammys and stuff. He's him. You know what I'm saying? He's him. Mm-hmm. But he took time out to talk to me, and that always is going to resonate with me, man. This is now over, I want to say, 8 years ago now. But so that's when we created this platform. So come on with us on this journey. It's going to be fun. I promise you guys, not every episode is going to be this long. All right? I promise you that. But it will be impactful. And that's the most important thing. And then our course is going to be that way for you. So thank you. Joaquin, anything you want to leave them with real quick?
No, all love. I appreciate you guys listening. Yeah, you know, I'm pumped to continue to give you guys value and hopefully meet some of you guys one day, you know, share a drink and take from there.
No doubt. All right, y'all. We'll catch up with you every Wednesday, every platform. Like, subscribe, comment. Higher Power Tech Podcast. Find us on Apple, YouTube, and all Spotify, all that great stuff, LinkedIn, and you'll be good to go. Talk to you guys shortly. Have a good one. Peace.